Hello, everyone. Anybody out there today? Nobody's out there. I know somebody's out there. So I'm not hearing music. I don't know how many people are planning to be here doing the recording today, but regardless, welcome. I know we're deep in the holiday season, but I will keep my promise and do the weekly call today. And, of course, as always, the recordings are posted at recording.advancedinfluence.com. My name is Kurt Mortensen. Today is December 22nd. Welcome to some of the newbies. We spend 20 minutes talking about a tool you can apply. We take your questions about what we talked about, and then, of course, any questions that you're running into. In fact, if you want to submit a question online, that website with the recording has a spot for you to be able to do that. So with that being said, are there any questions out there?
No, but I want to let you know I am here listening to you.
Oh, good. I have at least some alive body out there. That's always refreshing to know I'm not talking to myself, because they kind of call you off when you tend to do that. So that's good. Welcome, and happy holidays to everyone. And let's take some notes.
Okay.
Today I want to talk about a little bit about dissonance and persuading other people. I just need to point out right here, as you get into the persuasion process, you know that when you attempt to persuade somebody, even though they need it, want it, like it, and can afford it, they are going to resist you. That is human nature. The human brain needs to be right. When I tell you that you're right 50% of the time in your decisions and you're wrong 50% of the time in your decisions, most people will say in their minds, well, but no, I'm higher than that. But statistically speaking, that's probably where you're at. But we get in denial. Let me put it this way. When we get in denial mode, when we get backed into a corner, then people are very difficult to persuade. Remember, your goal is to help people persuade themselves. If you back them into that corner and you show them that they're wrong and you show them that they're lying, the doors of influence will swing shut. So I want to focus a little bit on dissonance. And dissonance is a very interesting law of persuasion. Now, when you understand dissonance or cognitive dissonance, basically you could help people persuade themselves. It's all about having that internal pressure, having them do it themselves. But let me explain what this is. We all have our cognitions, which is our beliefs, our attitudes, and or the commitments that we've made. And when we do something against our beliefs, against the commitments we've made, against our education, it becomes very awkward and uncomfortable, and we cannot live with that. It's almost like a rubber band is stretching inside us, and it becomes very awkward. For example, if your son or daughter came down to your home office and saw a stapler from your work, you've been teaching them their whole life they shouldn't steal, stealing's wrong, you believe stealing's wrong, but all of a sudden here's the stapler from work, and they say, Mom, Dad, isn't that stealing? So what's happening there is that you feel tension inside, the rubber band stretches, because you have done something against your beliefs or commitment that you've made. It feels awkward and uncomfortable, and you can't live with that. So what the human brain does is we find out a reason why it's okay. It's much easier for us to adjust or amend a belief than to admit we're wrong. We would say something like, well, I do some work at home. I'm just borrowing it for 20 years. They have plenty at work. They were going to throw it away anyway. You know, whatever it is, we're very, very good at it. And this is what's happening when you're attempting to influence people, because it's very difficult for people to say, I'm wrong, I blew it, and when you point that out, then it's very difficult to persuade that type of person. When you tell somebody they're always late, you know, they believe that they shouldn't be late, but they'll come up with all the reasons and rationalizations in the world why it's okay. And I'm not going to go to every step of dissonance. The only one I want to focus on today is the denial, because that is the one you will see the most. When people deny there's a problem, or they demean the source. That's what denial is. Well, no, it's not a problem, it doesn't matter, or they attack you. For example, somebody in your family says, help me out, I'm on a diet. support me on this. And you come home and they've just polished off a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts. Okay? They've been eating the whole box. And you say, hey, wait a minute. And you go in and say, look, you shouldn't do this. What are you thinking? I'm here to help you. And for most of the time, after you've done that, after you've backed them into a corner, after you've shown them that they were wrong, you better duck, okay, because they're going to come after you, and you're the one, and you caused this, and you're causing all the stress, or whatever it is, that is when they come after you. Just like, for example, a foreclosure situation, it's the bank's fault, it's the government's fault, the employer's fault, just any type of IT situation, there's a lot of finger pointing at somebody else's fault when that is that denial. So we really need to understand the human brain needs to be right. And so your goal is to show them they're wrong, but they need to figure out on their own that they're wrong. That keeps the doors of influence wide open. That is the goal. That's what we want to work towards. So let's talk about it. The challenge with this is that they're not taking ownership for what's going on, and we see this a lot in the workplace where people don't want to take on new projects. They don't want to stretch themselves. They don't want to put themselves out there. They don't want to rock the boat. They're not sure if it's going to work. Why put their name on it if it might fail? That's no ownership. They want to stay in the status quo, or it's going to be somebody else's fault. The solutions we're going to be talking about today, and this could be whether you're working with teenagers or coworkers or anything, is we need to help them discover for themselves, lead them down a road of personal discovery that, yep, they need to change, they need to accept your idea, they need to work with you, they need to do business with you, and remember, you never back that type of person into a corner. I mean, let's take... I'll give you a real estate example. When you go to somebody's home and you know they're losing their home and you've been to the bank and they're going to lose it in 2 weeks and they say, no, we've taken care of it. And you say, you liar, why are you lying to me? I'm here to help you. Okay, it might feel good, it might be fun, but of course that will close the doors to influence. Or in the workplace, if you bring someone the memo, or you show them that they're wrong, and you back them into a corner, it's very difficult to influence that type of person. And there might be a time and place for that strategically, but you need to be very careful on how to use it. And Henry Ford said it the best. He said, most people spend more time and energy in going around problems than in trying to solve them. So that is human nature. We're trying to go around the problem, trying to pretend there's not a problem, trying to... Or hoping that it's going to go away than actually trying to solve it. Again, we're talking about human nature. We're talking about human nature. We're humans, and we have all these emotions. We like to think we're logical, but we're not. We need to be right. And when people get stuck in that blame cycle, it's a form of fear. It's a form of denial. And it really hurts people. For example, if somebody lost their job, that's the event. They've lost their job. They have been fired. Some people will accept that. You know what? I'm fired. Maybe I was fired for a reason. Maybe there's something else I can do. Maybe I can now do this or start the business I want or find a different job. They accept it. They grow from it. They learn. They take a different path. They see results. And they ultimately, they have success. They get what they want. Very few people do that. On the flip side, somebody gets fired. They look at the blame. Oh, they're blaming somebody. It's not their fault. Their coworkers were out to get them since the beginning. They wanted your job, that boss, the government, the economy. So we start blaming. Then we start rationalizing why it happened and why it wasn't your fault and why it's okay. And then we have resentment, and we start rehashing all those feelings that we have, and then we're destined for failure. That is what you see a lot of times when you're working with people. You have to get them past that blame. You have to get them to take ownership, You have to help them see on their own that they need to make changes, that they need to accept your idea, that they need to do business with you. How do you do that? Let's give you some solutions. Very simple solutions, probably ones you've heard before, but very few people have really mastered what we're going to be talking about. The first one is questions. Top persuaders that I've monitored ask 3 times more questions than the average person. And think about it this way. When you ask the right questions, they'll tell you everything you need to know to influence them. Questions create a mental involvement. They always get answered. Now, they don't always get answered out loud, but they always get answered. So if you ever lose control of a situation, ask a question. If you feel that they're starting to get into a little denial that it's not their fault, ask them a question. Well, why did this happen? Why do you think it happened? Lead them down that road of personal discovery. Questions guide the conversation. Questions keep you in control. They keep you guiding the conversation. And it helps you find out exactly what they need. Repeat the statistic again. Great persuaders ask 3 times more questions. Now they're a consultant. Now they're concerned. They're interested. And people appreciate it. When you're sincere and genuine, and you've developed trust, and you've connected with that person, people appreciate the questions. Only time a person will get upset with a question is if they don't like you and trust you, or they don't accept you as the expert, or it's a little too personal. And sometimes you have to ask some personal questions, but make sure you leave those to the tail end of your conversation, because you always want to ask the easiest questions first. Just like we talked about the foot in the door technique. A little bit at a time, easiest question first. And always ask, when you can, open-ended questions. Not a yes-no question. They say an open-ended question so you can get as much information as possible. And I would recommend having a notepad. Take notes. Shows that you're professional. Ask permission if you need to. Hey, I want to make sure we have a perfect fit. I want to make sure we can do this right. You mind if I take notes? And you will get the yes. And people appreciate that because now you're a consultant. You need to ask information to make sure you have the right solution for that person. Then you can say, okay, well, what do you think about? How do you feel about? What's important about? Have those questions. So if you're sitting down with someone in a persuasive situation, that's gold to you. You say, well, what's important about your child? And fill in the blank. Or what's important about this proposal, this solution? What is the most important thing about? And just open up and listen. Just open up and listen and take notes. They will persuade themselves with questions. Part of that's helping them understand the consequences of what's going on. If they don't do anything, what's going to happen? And what's the worst thing that can happen to them? What is the cost of not changing? They're talking to you for a reason. You've called them, or they've called you. If they say they're not interested, that's not true, because there's some reason that they've contacted you a lot of the times. And you find out what that is through questions. Okay, what happens if we don't do anything? What happens if we don't help Johnny Jr.? What happens if we don't save your home? What happens if we don't upgrade our software? All those things help them see what's going to happen in 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years if we don't make the change. Now, obviously, human nature is 2 days is much more motivating than 2 years. And that is something that we need to understand. We've talked a lot about that with scarcity. So we have questions. Now, on the flip side of questions, we also know with great persuaders is they are great listeners. Well, I know how to listen. Like, no, you know how to hear. In fact, when you look at the Chinese symbol of listening, it's pretty interesting to dissect the characters. Is there's a character for an ear, a heart, and an eye, all times 10. So to truly listen, you're listening with your ears, your eyes, and your heart. You multiply it by that by 10. They'll tell you everything you need to know, but you have to be able to listen. We're so concerned about vomiting all the features and benefits that we don't truly listen. We don't really understand if it's a true objection or a true concern. This is one of the top trainings out there with the Fortune 500 companies is listening training. We have to call it other things because everyone's like, oh, listening trainings, they roll their eyes. But you look at the problems in their relationships, in their marriages, their coworkers, 9 times out of 10, it's listening and understanding other people. And this one's huge. The reality here and understanding is there are quite a few challenges to truly listening. And if you think you're good at listening, man, we've got to do a lot of work. This is an area we're always working on. The challenge here is that most people have never been trained. If they have, they've been trained in the wrong way. The school system trains us to hear, write it down, and regurgitate it later. That's not truly listening. That's one-way listening. Many times we're always thinking about a response, what to say next, when getting our next word in, or throwing, or putting in a next comment stuck in our brain, and that really inhibits our ability to listen. It's very difficult for most people to concentrate. Attention spans are all-time low. They're looking at people around them, looking at their watch, or looking at their cell phone. Very challenging to truly listen. Jumping to conclusions, you think you know what's right for them, that hurts your ability to listen. And the huge one is prejudging. Well, they won't be interested, they won't care, they won't accept the proposal, they won't do business with me. That sucks the life out of you in your presentation and causes you not to listen anymore. And I can give you so many horror stories of people who prejudged. They weren't interested, they won't do it, it's not going to happen, and that same person went to the next person, and it was one of the biggest success stories or biggest sales ever, time after time after time. So what is the solution here? It's quite simple. When you truly want to understand somebody and persuade somebody and get them past denial, you ask the right questions, and with listening, undivided attention, they're the most important person in the world. We're not doing call waiting. We're not looking at our text messages. We're not looking around. We're looking at them. They're the most important person. It takes some effort, but it really goes a long way. Look them right in the eye. About 70% of the time when we talk about eye contact, but on average, look them in the eye 75% of the time. You're treating them like they're very, very important, and show them that you have their best interest in mind, that you're genuine, you're sincere, you're showing that sincere interest in them. It goes a long way. They'll tend to open up. And a great tool is you always keep the conversation going. Ask another question. Oh, tell me more. Well, why is that important? Why do you think that happened? Well, if we don't do anything, what's going to occur? And a power tool here is you use silence. If you need more information, use silence. You've seen Barbara Walters do interviews before. She can get anybody to cry. And she uses silence. She'll ask a question. Well, tell me about your childhood. So you have this famous person, maybe a movie star. Tell me about your childhood. And they said, oh, well, this and this happened. And they'll pause. And she'll go, huh. And not say anything. So this will be that silence. That silence. And the person will go, well, this and this and this happened. She's like, wow. More silence. And all of a sudden, this rock star, movie star is crying. And I killed my dog. And this happened. Because they'll fill in the blanks. They'll fill in the blanks. And that's the moment where you're getting the most vital information. And always pause before replying. Because you're listening. They're the most important person. Take 3 to 5 seconds. Then respond. Might not sound like good time management. But it really helps that connection. Your ability to listen. And your ability to influence. These are critical pieces to your success. And I know you've heard them before. Everyone's heard them before, but very, very few people have mastered these skills. You need to really learn how to ask 3 times more questions and really learn how to listen. And practice these skills with everybody, with kids, with a spouse, with coworkers, whoever. Practice these skills. So what do I want you to work on? I want you to practice your questions. Develop more questions. Pre-write down your questions. And if you have a series of questions, you're going to help that person persuade themselves. Start practicing to answer a question with a question. Well, I need it right now. What if they say that? Or they say something like, why do you think that's important? You can answer that with a question. Or sometimes you might hear, why do I need to do it today? You think that through and you answer that with a question. How you think, okay, how can I answer that with a question? Why do you need it today? So let's throw it out to the group. If they say, well, why do I need to do it today? How can you answer that with a question? We have to formulate it right. Yeah, go ahead.
I think I'd ask, why do you feel you need it today? Why is that important to you?
Okay, good. So if they say something like, yeah, exactly, and you got that right. I kind of drew a blank there. If they say something like, make sure it's a question, they say, well, why do I have to do it today? And you would come back with, well, what was your response?
Well, why do you feel like today is that important to you? What is the issue here?
Okay. What is your main purpose for doing it today? What is the main reason you are talking about this solution? Or all different things you can do. And it sounds so easy on paper, but you really have to reprogram your brain because your whole life, you have always answered a question. Someone asks you a question, you have to answer it. You have to answer it, you have to answer it. That's our schooling. You can really learn to answer a question with a question. In fact, if you ever do improv training, one of their skits they do is they can only use questions. It's a hoot. It's funny to watch, but it takes time to reprogram your brain. These questions also help you find out their wants and their needs. You can help them discover for themselves that they need to change. Well, tell me, why did you come in today? Or why were you looking for this particular product or this solution? Get them to open up, and this will help them persuade themselves. So the two things I think are really important here is try to ask three times more questions in a sincere and genuine way. You're a consultant. And then also try to answer a question with a question. And when you start reprogramming your brain and you really start to listen, that really tends to maximize your influence. Even when you don't have a power position, you don't have the authority, you're not the boss, you're not the CEO, you're talking to another department, you're talking to the parents, whatever it is, it gives you a lot of control. Practice these questions, learn how to listen, and you will really maximize your influence, and you will be able to persuade with power. Any questions about what we talked about today?
No, I don't have any questions, but I was just going to mention, I was listening to the CD that you sent me on dissonance today. It's interesting that it comes up in this phone call.
And we just touched on one of the six with dissonance today.
Right.
And as far as all the 12 laws of persuasion, it's probably the most complicated. But when you really understand why people do this and all of a sudden they're not interested, that a lot of times it's dissonance. I mean, they've come to you and all of a sudden, well, I'm not interested. Like, well, and that makes no sense. And that's one of the reasons people give objections that make no sense, or they make up objections. And we've talked about it before where when you hear it's too expensive, I can't afford it, that most of the time that it's a lie, and a lot of times it has to do with dissonance. So that's one that you can really get into to really understand, but the big one of all the six is definitely denial.
Okay.
So let me throw a question out. How do you know when someone's going to the path of denial?
I would probably say, well, it's like you said, they try to go around. They continue, it's like they call it beating around the bush. They're constantly going around the actual problem and never really seeing it for what it is and accepting it. And you can see that in a lot of people when they're confronted with stuff like that.
Because it's easier, because now they don't have to admit that they were wrong or made a mistake, or you will see them changing the subject. You mm-hmm. will see them looking for someone else to blame, or you'll see them blame another department or another person,
mm-hmm.
or they'll blame their own spouse. Okay, you'll see different things there. That's the typical denial things. The thing here is, remember, the human brain needs to be right, and if you can take him down that path, not back him into a corner, then it becomes very, very helpful to keep the doors of influence open.
Yeah, and I really appreciate that point, that I never really thought about it that way, that the brain wants to be right. That's an interesting concept.
It wants so bad to be right. It takes, and it goes back to ego and esteem that we've talked about, that it does hurt our self-esteem a little bit to admit that we're wrong, but a person with a healthy self-esteem can say, yeah, I blew it. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the important thing. That's why we check our egos in the door as persuaders and hope, because when someone comes at you in denial mode, very angry and blaming you and making fun of your mother, which people will do, it's so easy and kind of fun to get back in their face and prove them that they're wrong.
Right.
And as it was Ben Franklin that said, the man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still.
Mm-hmm.
And so you won the argument, and you're feeling good, and you showed them, you proved your point, but you will never be able to persuade that person again, for the most part, especially in that position.
Yes, I like your illustration of the rubber band stretching, because
it feels like.
Yes, that's a good one.
Because we can't handle that tension, whether you catch somebody not washing their hands, or it could be the simple one where your belief is that you're a charitable person, and you're watching TV, and there's that infomercial about the children in South America, and they need your help, and it's 10 cents a day, and the rubber band stretches, you feel that tension, and we can either change the channel and say, well, I give to another charity, so I'm still a good person, or we say to ourselves, well, I've heard those things are scams, and they wouldn't get the money anyway, or maybe we would donate, or there's a variety of things we can do, but we cannot live with that, and when you see that happening, it's important to really address it, not just keep moving on.
Yes. Yes.
Any other questions out there? All right. Well, everyone have an incredible holiday week. We'll be back in action next week, same time. Remember the website, recording.advancedinfluence.com. Give us 24 hours to post that. Any questions, you can submit them there, too. We're happy to address those during the class. That's what we're here for. And to make sure everyone's ready to make sure 2011 is your year. With that, everyone have a great week. Is there a question?
Yeah, you said recording.advancedinfluence.com?
That's exactly right.
Okay. Thank you.
You bet. All right, everyone. Everyone have a great evening, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks. Good night.
All right, we'll see you. Good night, everyone.